This is The Writing Life with Ann Croker, providing you with resources and inspiration to be more curious, creative, and productive. In the last episode, I encouraged anyone who is in a position to read and respond to a writer's work to affirm what's working. I'm not talking about formal reviewers online or at newspapers who are reviewing books. I'm thinking of someone in a writing group that's workshopping a short story or someone giving a friend feedback about a poem. If you're in that kind of situation, helping steer someone and encourage their growth as a writer, I recommend you err in the direction of honest affirmation. Notice the importance of giving honest affirmation. A CNN article on criticism at work quoted a Denmark-based researcher who studies happiness at work. He says that praise, if delivered poorly, like when something seems obligatory or trivial, can have these negative effects. It makes us mistrust all future praise. In the same article, leadership consultant Jack Zenger says for praise to be constructive, it has to be specific and heartfelt. He says, a passing good job or well done means very little, but when a manager takes the time to tell the individual specifically what he or she has done and the consequences that it has had, then praise begins to have an extremely positive effect. Think of it something like clicker training. Back in 2006, I read an article in the New York Times called What Shamu Taught Me About Marriage by Amy Sutherland. She was researching exotic animal trainers and how they could get hyenas to pirouette on command, cougars to offer their paws for a nail clipping, and baboons to skateboard. That's when Sutherland began to consider further applications of this system of rewarding good behavior and ignoring the bad. She wrote, "The central lesson I learned from exotic animal trainers is that I should reward behavior I like and ignore behavior I don't. After all, you don't get a sea lion to balance a ball on the end of its nose by nagging. The same goes for the American husband." She was tired of nagging her husband to change minor details and habits like misplacing his keys or leaving used tissues in his wake. Sutherland switched to positive reinforcement. She began to thank her husband when he placed just one dirty shirt in the hamper, and then she would step over soiled clothes that remained on the floor without saying a word about it. Thus, she was rewarding desired behavior and ignoring the rest. At some point, she did reveal to him what was going on, and even so, he basked in her gratitude and did what she desired, and the clothes made it into the basket. Success came from pointing out what worked and affirming that and ignoring what didn't. So I think honest affirmation is kind of like clicker training for writers. It works especially well when you have the luxury of taking a long-range view, trusting that over time, the writer will self-correct the more confident he grows from knowing what he does well. In time, theoretically, a writer will naturally begin to see her own areas to improve by signing up for classes, perusing books about writing, listening to others talk about good writing, and reading great writing. Sometimes, though, we don't get that much time. And we have to point out a few things that would ideally be changed, eliminated, tweaked, or rearranged to quickly improve a writing project. So sometimes affirmation alone will not get the job done. And people have told me they really want an honest critique, and by that they mean they want to know what's not working. And I assure them that my affirmative, encouraging remarks are honest, but they, like I said, they really want to know what's not working and what they can change to make it better. Bethany Rode left a comment at the blog post for the Affirm podcast. She said, "I appreciated your well-rounded feedback on my writing. I remember more affirmation than critique. Ideally, I should just take whatever comes my way in stride, but for me, the critique adds legitimacy to the affirmation, and the affirmation helps the critique go down smoothly. I felt you offered a balanced serving of both." I love the way she's talking about this balance, that the affirmation helps the critique go down smoothly while the critique adds legitimacy to the affirmation. The next best thing to rewarding with positive input the good and ignoring what's not working is to put in place a 6-to-1 ratio of positive versus negative feedback. There was a study done by the University of Michigan Business School several years ago, and it compared team performance to the frequency of praise and criticism given within the team. So the best performing teams did use about 6 times as many positive comments for every negative one. And the worst performing teams, on average, used 3 negative comments for every positive one. So that 6-to-1 was the key. American psychologist John Gottman, he's famous for researching marriages. He's found a similar ratio for positive and negative comments from spouses, and those lead to happier marriages. So if you see one thing you want to recommend the writer to change or adapt, look for 6 things going well in his work, 6 to 1. Remember that that person's vulnerable heart is pulsing on the page. So if you're reviewing their work, share what's working, affirm all the excellent ideas and transitions, show them where they shine, and then you can gently reveal to them one thing that might need a little tweak. So keep in mind the 6 to 1 ratio and the affirmation found in the positive reinforcement that comes with clicker training for writers. Thanks for listening. Reviews are helpful if you have a second to write one up on iTunes, and I invite you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, @AnnCroker. You can like my page on Facebook where I'm AnnCroker.writingcoach. In all those places, I'm always on the lookout for ideas to share that help us be more curious, creative, and productive.